flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
40-9 going into tonight's game against Boston. Boston 5.5 back on the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. They are 35-15. These two teams split earlier in the year. The Cavs have won 4 games. The Celtics have won 3. What does this mean? What does this game mean? It's a tough ticket. I know a lot of people are trying to get tickets. A million people asked me for tickets for this one. And of course, I don't have any tickets. So why are you asking me? How do I get tickets?
They should be asking you.
You think so?
Why not? You're the ticket man.
Not really.
Pikachu.
Thank you. Thoughts on tonight's game, Jeff?
Don't overvalue a loss and don't overvalue a win. How's that?
Sure.
I will tell you, though, I think this is a compelling matchup. And I look at the Celtics roster and I just think that's a really good group. That's a really good group. And I say that because I think it matches up really well with the Cavs and then some. If it's healthy. For instance, mm-hmm. I think their guards are really pretty good. Derek White's a good player. And he's big, he's strong, he's a good defensive player. Jrue Holiday is a really good guard, really good defensive player as well. And that, okay, so, and I won't say they neutralize the Cavs' backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, but I will say that they will give them a real test. And Kristaps Porzingis, when he's healthy, is push with Evan Mobley. They're both really good. And then you got Tatum and Brown. What happens there? That's the catch. I think they have guys that match up real well with two Cavs guards and with a Cavs power forward or center, if you want to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Tatum and Brown. So you might have, Mobley on Tatum, something like that, and Jared Allen on Porzingis. I just think the starting five of the Celtics is a matchup that doesn't really work well for the Cavaliers. Doesn't mean they can't win the game. Doesn't mean they can't win a series. But to me, that starting five for Boston, when it's healthy, and that's been an issue, is one that'll give the Cavs fits.
Yeah, when you go back and look at that first time they played, when the Celtics won in Boston, 120-117, Tatum had 33. I mean, big numbers from a lot of their guys. Horford had 20 in that game. Derek White had 19. Jaylen Brown had 17. And then Peyton Pritchard off the bench had 13 points in that game. So,
and he's interesting.
And they only played eight in that first game that they won, that Boston won.
I just think, Porzingis has been really good. And, I do like White and I do like Drew Holiday. And then you have Tatum and Brown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like they have Tatum and Brown and then Larry Curley and Moe. They've got really three really good players in addition to Tatum and Brown.
That second time they played, Brown didn't play. Tatum had 33. Porzingis had 21. Pritchard had 24 off the bench. And the Cavs won that game, 115 to 111. That was the home game. When was that? A little while back. Just trying to remember when they played. It feels like it was a while ago, doesn't it? And now you come back and you got a chance to play them again. So I look at tonight's game. I mean, I think this is just kind of, must-see basketball, right? I mean, that's why the game's on national TV. 7:30 start for tonight's game. The Cavs trailed in that game, too, for, a good part of the third quarter all the way through till late in the game, And they were able to come back. But maybe that's worth, what do you think home court's worth? And again, it's a regular season game, but what do you think home court's worth in a game like this tonight where you do have two kind of evenly matched teams that the home team has been able to win both times? What's it mean?
Point-wise, you mean?
Yeah, I mean like...
I don't know.
Two buckets?
Two or three.
I think so, too. I don't know. What do the Cavs need to do to win tonight?
Slow down Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
That storyline's not going to change.
No.
And you have to slow them down and then hope the other guys don't kill you. You know, Porzingis is capable of going off and putting 30 on the board. He's really good when he plays, but he's only played 25 games this year.
Can you read into this with the trade deadline being a week from Thursday? Let's say Tuesday.
No,
week
it's from it's Thursday. This Thursday.
I mean, it's Thursday. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
3:00 Thursday. Yeah.
Do you take anything out of
tonight's game?
Tonight's game that makes you think what happens if they I don't know. I don't want to judge the whole season on one game, but this is a team that you're hopefully going to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. At least that's the way things match up right now. So you would like to be.
That's the hope, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
well, I don't like the matchup.
Yeah. Do you feel like you can make a move if you need to make a move? I just don't think we have the assets. But
I think you have the assets, and I think the buyout market might be where you find somebody. But you're not going to find somebody like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
What assets do we have to use? We talk about this.
You've got young guys that are deep in your rotation,
and second round picks. And one expiring contract. I don't think that they have...
I mean, you might not want to trade a guy like Max Strus or Isaac Okoro or George Niang or Tyson. But those are your assets. You know, those are the guys that are expendable if you feel you must trade somebody. Sam Merrill. Now, these guys all play a role here, but do they play a big enough of a role that you're going to keep, you're going to keep yourself from giving one of them up who you might be able to find a guy who can move into the starting five and play small forward for you and maybe give Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown some fits? I don't know.
Chuck is in a car. Hey, Chuck.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. Hey, how are you?
Great. Excited about this game tonight.
Yeah. It's more fun than talking about a guy who's demanding a trade, isn't it?
For sure. Cavs need to defend their home court. I think that's a point of pride that the Cavs have about this game tonight. It is just a W or just an L, but to them, I think it has a little more meaning when it's their home turf that they need to defend. I was real excited about Merrill's performance in the last game. Pick an all-time NBA great shooter that his release reminds you of.
Jeff, you got one?
He's got a real quick release. I don't want to go Steph Curry. Is that what you're thinking?
No.
You thinking Mark Price?
No.
All right, who are you thinking?
Ray Allen.
Now you're talking one of the great shooters of all time.
Yeah, well, Merrill, the other night, what was he, 9 of 13?
Yeah, he had 27. He was really good.
He had more points than minutes, and he's been struggling for a good portion of the year.
No, I like his shot too, Chuck. I like his shot. What I don't like is the inconsistency, and I think maybe with more playing time, but he's in a situation where he's not going to get a ton of playing time.
Well, my point is, if he can shoot like that, which, you know, I realize it's an outlier, but if that guy can shoot like that, just wow. I mean, 50 first half points the other night. I know they were playing a pickup team for the most part. However, I'll let you guys go. Have a great day.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Let's get one more Cavs call in here. Dick is in Dayton. Hey, Dick.
Hi, Dick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you? Good?
Hey, Cavaliers all the way, buddy. It's great.
We hear you.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now.
Okay, we'll write it down.
This reminds me, I can just think, it was 2016, and I stood, you know, I waited that night to see LeBron, and it's just, it's good. And another thing, I think the Guardians are going to go, but now I'm saying, as I said before to Jeff and you, we got, I think, Will Howard, but I was surprised about Myles Garrett. I thought he'd stay.
How about the Monsters, Dick?
Huh?
Well, yeah, what do you got on the Monsters?
How about the Cleveland Monsters?
Oh, I've seen them. I saw them. Yeah, they're good, too. They were good. I saw, what's his name, do the play-by-play?
Akron Zips have won 9 straight games.
Yeah, it's good.
Cleveland State's playing pretty good basketball,
really
13
good.
Straight.
Really
yeah.
good.
But down here, I used to work at Lowe's, you know.
Yep.
I was right across from Wright State.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Anderson, go
home
watch
the Raiders.
A pitch, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of fans that used to come over and see me. You know,
I'm sure.
Hey, Jeff, my family was from Wellington, Ohio.
Oh, nice. Home of the Dukes.
Home of the Dukes, and we couldn't forget from Medina, Joe Tate, could we?
Oh,
no,
of course
there
not.
You go, Dick. Nope. Thank you.
Good talking to you, Dick.
Oh, did a whole show in one phone call right there. It's awesome.
Took care of 7 topics. Maybe 9.
You're a bad man. Bad man.
Me?
Yes. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Cavs in Boston tonight. I sometimes struggle with some of these games when they're big in the beginning of the season.
Big.
Right? So they play Boston tonight
big.
Today's the 4th. Then they come back on the 28th and play Boston again.
Big.
All of these games hit national TV. Tonight is what?
Big.
Max, TNT, True TV. It's on everywhere. It's everywhere tonight, right?
Big.
Big. Do guys get up for those better than they do than the regional? I mean, does it make a difference? Just real quick.
Oh, yeah.
It does?
They know when they're on national TV.
Do they rise to the occasion? That's the question.
It's a different story. You didn't ask that one.
Well, maybe I'll ask you later. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps. When we come back, what's going on at the Super Bowl? What the commission have to say? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Meredith Kane is with us today as well. She's at 216-474-0092. And, of course, Dan Menigan. Make sure that everything stays on the rails for the show, including this next segment, too, where we talk a little bit about Roger Goodell.
Wait, it's my job to keep this thing on the rails?
Yeah, I don't know if you know that.
We're toast.
You didn't know that?
Oh, we're toast. We got to get somebody far more qualified.
Well, at least it's a hand cart and not, train that uses coal or anything.
Camptown ladies sing this song, doo-da, doo-da.
Wow, all right. I wasn't going there.
Nice.
Anybody who knows.
Go ahead, Slim.
Knows that one. All righty. Let's, the commish spoke yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Good times were always had by most when the commish spoke, but a couple things continue to come up. One of those things will not go away. We mentioned it a little bit in the jumpstart. We'll get into it a little bit deeper here. The commish was asked about the inevitable 18-game season.
Well, we haven't had any formal negotiating sessions about an extension. It is something that Lloyd and I have had informal conversations about. But there's a lot of work to be done. You know, we committed in 2011 when we signed a collective bargaining agreement that the players would not only have a say in that, but they would actually be able to prevent it from happening or support it from happening. I think it's a large part because of the safety of our game, the advancements that we made in how we're training in the offseason, how we're training in the preseason. If we do, 18-2 might be a possibility, because we know that fans, I think, love football. They want more football, but we have to be incredibly sensitive and smart about the balance and how we deal with that.
All right, the only way they didn't have a formal conversation, Jeff, is because they didn't show up in tuxes. There's no way they did not have this conversation.
He said
about 18 games.
He said 18-2. Does that mean two preseason games?
I'm assuming, yeah.
I'm assuming as
would
well.
Did you assume that too? Yeah. Fair.
I guess I'd assume that one as well. They weren't going to get these owners to turn down Gates. We all had this cute idea that it was going to be 18 and there was going to be no preseason game. Psh! Go up to a billionaire and ask him to take money out of their pockets and see how it goes.
All it means is one preseason game each. That's all that means. Right, one home.
Yes.
I despise this.
You need that much extra money that you have to play those lousy games?
No, but there's
and you're free, not going to roll like, out your good players?
It's free money because it's the only game that isn't, and you don't necessarily get it. If a network wants to take over your preseason game, they can take it over from the local channels, so that the local team, that the teams are able to set up their own television deals with local TV stations to get those preseason games. That's it, and that there's no revenue share on that. That's why it's like. That's why the teams like it. If I'm New York, I'm bummed. I don't really want to give it up. If I'm here, I don't. Does it really make a difference? Seriously,
I wouldn't think so.
You know, I can't imagine some of the local markets. Just I don't think they have the cash to pay for it anymore because local TV just isn't what it was. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see it.
It's a different communications world.
Yeah. So I just that's why you would want to keep those local. That's why you want to keep those two preseason games. Because they don't fall under the network umbrella.
Okay, great.
That's it. Give me another reason why. I don't know why. Why else would you keep the preseason games?
Why else?
Play a couple controlled scrimmages. That's what I would do.
You know how I feel about it. If you're going to play 18 games, blow off the preseason and play a couple of controlled scrimmages. You're right.
Do you know how mad you'd be if you lost a player in a preseason game?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah, I know. In an 18-game season? Oh, man.
The other part of that, I mean, it's a real simple situation. You blow off the preseason, you play 18 games, and you expand the rosters, both overall and game day.
Start on Labor Day, end on President's Day.
I would start a little earlier than that myself, but I don't like the season going any further than it already does. I'd prefer the season to end in January myself. Super Bowl the last week. I know everybody wants to get around presidents, you know, and all that stuff, but I don't.
I'm all
to me.
For
it lasts so long, and I would start it earlier because I'm not a fan of critical games being played in lousy weather.
I don't know. I would play it later. I would have the Super Bowl President's Day weekend, and the longer the NFL season goes, the shorter winter feels to me. Because we're still, I mean, mentally from where we live.
So they should do it for Andy.
No, I just feel like, isn't it nice to be able to stretch out football season and just like, hey, we're still playing football now. It's
Andy, they're still playing football in March. It's called free agency.
That's not playing football.
They're still playing football in April. It's called the draft. People pay as much attention to that as they almost do games.
I'd still rather see a game than watch the draft. I mean, come
would
on.
You?
Yes.
Not necessarily sure about that.
Do you really
think the Falcons against the Panthers or the Browns with the second pick in the draft? I'm going Browns, second pick.
No.
Let's go.
Come on.
Let's go.
Does this feel like a poll?
No.
We need to do a poll on this?
We don't do polls anymore.
Would you rather watch an NFL regular season game or the draft? Come on, you got to be kidding me. I'd rather watch the game.
You'd rather watch the Panthers against the Falcons than watch what the Browns do with the second pick in the draft.
Is it going to be a good game? Maybe it is going to be a good game. I don't know what the outcome is of that. Then again, I don't know what the outcome of the draft is going to be, but I'm just not a big fan of the draft.
Andy Baskin's anti-Cleveland.
No, I'm not anti-Cleveland. I just don't like – I'm just not a huge draft fan. I'm not a – I don't think it's – Dan and I have had this conversation before, too. You love the draft, don't you? Jeff? Do you love it? Yes or no?
I love the building of teams. I think it's fascinating. And it's one of the things I enjoy most about sports is watching how teams do these things. And so I don't sit there and watch the draft forever, but you can be dang sure I'll be watching and see what happens in the first round of this NFL draft. After that, I can read it, but I want to see what happens in the first round.
Oh, my God, I got to see the seventh round. Got to see it. Can they get a kicker?
When they start bringing in people from the local Animal Protective League.
To do the draft picks?
Along with having your pet spayed or neutered in the seventh round, the Arizona Cardinals select. I can do without all of that.
It'd be great if they put pictures of two guys up there, and then whoever the dog ran to, that's what they were taking.
That's not bad.
I got news.
Not far away from it.
That's not bad.
There have been a few drafts for the Browns where they may have had a higher percentage win rate if they had done that, too.
That's not
bad.
Here
we go, Fido. Here we go. Who are we taking?
Rounds of the MLB draft. I'm pretty sure that's what's taking place.
Oh, how many times has a relative gotten drafted just so they can say they got
in the 59th round?
Pretty much. All right. The other big thing that's coming up is the idea of possibly putting the Super Bowl internationally. That's been kicked around a little bit. The idea has been
playing
out there.
In other words, playing it in like London.
Exactly. Okay. Put it at Tottenham Stadium, put it in Berlin, something along those lines. Well, Roger Goodell had this to say on the matter.
I do think there's a potential that someday we're going to have an international franchise. And if we do, I think it would not surprise me at all if a Super Bowl follows and is played there. We do like to have, this is a great example, being here in New Orleans. It's a great thing for the New Orleans Saints to be the host of the Super Bowl, have the world's attention. And I think the same will be true if we had an international franchise to be able to play a Super Bowl there to support that franchise.
Okay. I still, logistically, an international franchise sounds like a nightmare to me. Nightmare.
Does Toronto or Vancouver kill you if they wanted to go there? To me,
yes, I know they're in a different country. That doesn't scream international to me. If you're in incredibly different time zones and, you know, you're the only team out there. You know, like if you're in Toronto, you're in Montreal, you know, you're still on the same continent. It's easy. You can pull that off without any issues. NBA has proven that. Major League Baseball has proven that. Hockey proves it every night.
Yeah.
But international and football just sounds rough. And you don't see any other leagues, you know, that are multi-continent leagues. And then, you know, you can't, I would think you would have to almost start a separate league and have like NFL Europe, which, you know, we did have the World League of American Football.
Right.
The WLAF at one point. I would think that I would think it becomes like a AAA type of football. Because I don't know how you could logistically make that work. That's the issue with me, a logistical nightmare.
I'm just trying to think, you know, he brought up that whole point of having these games at venues where there are already NFL teams, right? Have they ever had a Super Bowl? Where was Super Bowl one? Was it the Rose Bowl? No.
Yeah, it was at the Rose Bowl.
So that's, yeah, I'm just trying to think of.
They've had a Super Bowl at Rice Stadium in Houston.
Oh, that's right. They did, 1974. That's right.
So there have been non.
Stanford had one too. Stanford had the 85 Super Bowl. Do you think it's important that they play these games in NFL stadiums?
I think it's important that they play these games in front of television cameras.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just kind of thinking, yeah, Tulane Stadium. I'm just trying to find. Although the Saints started there though, didn't they? In Tulane Stadium. They haven't played everything in Super Bowl. I'm just trying to think how important it is to the league to make sure that they have those games there. I don't. Olympic Stadium is going to be up again too with the Olympics there, so I would wonder if they'd want to play another game there. But I mean, that's been an NFL field before too. So I don't know. I'm just kind of pondering the world here when it comes to that. International play is just find it fascinating.
I find it a logistical nightmare.
I just think it's a matter of time.
Not in our lifetime.
Oh, I think you're wrong. I think it's in our lifetime.
Well, call me.
Dan, what do you give
Wait a minute. One of us wouldn't be here.
Give me an estimate.
They seem bent on this. They seem like they're going to make this happen. And boy, I feel like it's a really bad idea.
Yeah,
and any international, because there's just so many problems that come with this. One of them, we could start with the fact that it's going to take you a 6-hour flight to get from continent to continent. Like that's part one. That's obnoxious. It's going to do people in. The 6-hour time difference is also going to do people in. Like, that's going to be really, really hard. You're going to have to be playing these games.
That would
you're
mean
already.
You'd start the Super Bowl at midnight local time if you're overseas.
Well, it would. Right? You'd have to almost flip it.
To have it on the cool TV time of 6:30 here in the States.
Right. You'd have to end up starting it at, like, midnight.
Midnight.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
Might be. It's either 5 or 6 hours, but you get the general gist.
Yeah.
Like,
they're not suddenly going to put the Super Bowl at 1 o'clock.
Right. There's so many things that come with this. The international franchise thing is the only way it would work is you would have to build the Avengers complex. Like, and by that, for those of you who don't understand what I mean is go get a plot of land in the middle of nowhere and essentially build a football dormitory / not stadium, but bunch of practice fields and all of that kind of stuff. And you would have to have that team stay at said dormitory because flying back and forth would just be ridiculous.
You want to affect free agency? That would affect free agency.
And then mix it with the fact that now you not only have to pay Uncle Sam, but now you have to pay King Charles.
Yeah, but you've...
And you've moved...
Baseball does it with Canada. It's not a big deal.
That's Canada, Andy. You can drive to Canada. And
Major League Baseball starts their season in Japan now, boys.
But there's a reason why Toronto has been coming in second on a whole lot of big-name free agents, even though they're throwing out more money than the teams that are getting these guys are. And it's because you got to pay Queen Elizabeth, and you got to pay Uncle Sam.
Cha-ching.
Wouldn't you rather be in Florida so you don't have to pay the state tax?
There's a reason why those teams can do pretty well if they want to.
Same with Texas.
Same with Montana. Why doesn't Montana have any pro teams?
Where's same Helena's with Arizona.
Team? They had the Brewers for a long time.
Corbin Burns went to Arizona for a reason.
Dodgers, Great Falls. I'm thinking of all the old teams. I don't know if they're still. Who cares? Not a big deal. Listen,
I care.
I know you do. That's why you're such a sensitive guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're good like that. There was one more cut, too. I want to hear from Roger Goodell, too. So I want to hear that. And we're also going to get back in to what's going on with the Browns. Greg Williams. Former Browns head coach and defensive coordinator is going to join us in less than a half hour. He is unhinged. I cannot wait to hear from him coming up in less than a half hour. 216-474-0092.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Kansas City, Philadelphia. Kansas City, the top-ranked team. The number one seed going in this. Philly, number two seed going into this thing. For whatever that's worth. 6:30 kickoff. Kansas City is a 1.5-point favorite for a game that'll be seen on Fox. Why are the Chiefs not likable?
I think they are likable.
You do?
Yeah.
I like them.
I have no issues with them at all.
I think one of the reasons fans don't like them is because they think they're getting too many calls. The commissioner answered that question yesterday when he was talking. Is this thing skewed towards the Chiefs?
This sort of reminds me a little bit of the script, right? That I write a script, and I have the script for the entire season. I think from a lot of those theories are things that happen in social media, and they get a new life. And so I understand that. I think it reflects a lot of the fans' passion. It also is a reminder for us how important officiating is. And I think the men and women that officiate in the NFL are outstanding. They have the highest possible standards. That's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously.
So wait, the commissioner admitted that he writes a script? I missed that part. I'm kidding. Why are there so many people that believe that too? I maybe because sometimes things happen that you just can't believe. They weren't scripted. And I understand that. I get that. But is this one of the reasons why, and especially when it comes to the officiating and the Chiefs, that maybe they got a call here, they got a call there? I, you know as well as I do, they could call holding on every play, right? And so Kansas City gets a call here or there. The thing that bothered me the most about, especially the championship game against the Bills, is I just don't know how you could be so off on a first down call and where to spot the ball sometimes. And we don't have to live in that world anymore when they can put a chip in the ball, and they have.
I didn't read the story. I saw something that said chip technology is not the real deal.
Okay, then what is?
That it doesn't really work.
Is there a better?
I don't know.
There has to be. If we can call balls and strikes.
Two guys and a stick.
No, two guys and a stick is not better. There has to be
two,
a better way
be
to
three
read
guys,
a first
two
down.
Sticks and a chain. Sorry.
There has to be a better way to read a first down.
Okay.
And doesn't that eliminate some of the angst that we get about, oh, did they get there? Did they get the first down? There's got to be a better way. There has to be. On a snow-covered field, they can show you where the lines are through technology now. Even if you're in the stadium, you can't see them. But they can see them on TV.
But they can see them.
That's why you're better off sometimes watching on TV than you are at the game. Do you find that funny? This little conspiracy?
Well, I honestly think that's the cause of all of this. It's a lot easier to point to a conspiracy theory than it is to just go, the Chiefs are really good.
Yep,
Patrick Mahomes
sure
is really good. Travis Kelce's really good. Those two understand how each other work.
And Andy Reid knows how to scheme.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to go, they cheated, than boy, to go, wow, they're just really freaking good.
Boy, did they do a nice job on their defense.
Do they maybe get a call every so often? Yeah, because the talent's there. In the same way that you got a whole bunch of calls when LeBron James was here. Why? Because the guy's really good.
Wait, you mean we got calls when LeBron was here? No. I don't believe it because LeBron complained all the time. There's no way we got all the calls.
This is how this works. There's no cheating. There's no backroom deals. There's no shenanigans. There's no shadowy figures. None. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, defense, Steve Spagnuolo, Chris Jones. They're just really good.
Tears in the national anthem.
They're just good. And it stinks that that's the reason. But that's the reason.
All right, so
it shouldn't be that difficult to extend a really good level of play, right?
No. I mean,
no team's won three Super Bowls in a row. That's fascinating, isn't that? No team's won three in a row. How in the world does that happen? It shows you about the parity in the league.
Script. I heard Roger say it. Said it's scripted. How about Kansas City being the evil empire now? Can you see it? Are they the evil empire to you? Patrick Mahomes was asked that question.
I don't think it's embracing me and the villains. We embrace who we are, and we believe we play the game the right way. We believe that we play with a lot of heart and a lot of passion for the game. I mean, then we win football games, and if winning football games makes you a villain, we're going to keep going out there and doing it.
Apparently, they didn't take that audio filter with them to New Orleans. The one that takes Patrick's voice and drops it down to here. That dude's got a high voice.
And a lot of money.
He got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money.
He can sound however in the world he wants if he can whip a football like that.
Can I ask a stupid question? Because, you know, I do that regularly anyway. Yeah.
That would make today a day that ends in day. Yeah, go ahead.
With his voice, could you listen to him do an entire game as a color analyst?
I think you'd get used to it after a while.
He speaks quickly, and his voice is, you know, very high and a little nasally. Could you listen to him do a game? I'll bet you could. I'll bet he'd be really good.
The rainbow.
But I think it's really interesting. That would be like, okay.
You really couldn't listen to him do an entire
game? No, I think I could. But he's got one of the most unique voices in pro sports.
He wins. I'd love to have a guy with a voice like his play quarterback.
No kidding.
So, Travis Kelce also talked about the fact that he's Travis Kelce.
Where's he from, Andy?
Originally, I think he was born on the West Side, something like that. Does he believe that people don't like the Chiefs? He talked about that too.
People hate the Chiefs? I didn't know that. I don't let outside noise fuel me or motivate me. I have all the motivation right here and with the people that I go to work with and who I show up for. I just try and be the most accountable guy that I can for them.
You know why, Andy?
Why, Jeff?
Because he went to your high school.
It's true. I mean, he learned to understand the heat when Heights was playing against Shaker.
Sure.
That was his first taste of real rivalry. And now he has clearly, you know, transcended that all the way through into the NFL. And I was kind of surprised. I've read a couple stories, Jeff, about him maybe perhaps getting cut at the end of the season by Kansas City.
Yeah, for money reasons.
Have you seen any of those?
Yes, I have. That would be stunning to me. I would be very, very surprised. I know it's a business. We all know it's a business. He's one guy who I think would be beyond that. I don't think they could do that. The only way they could do that is if it was mutually agreed upon that he wanted to leave and maybe go somewhere else to play, and they wanted to move on from him.
I think the only thing that the real answer would be just to get him to renegotiate his contract so that maybe you're technically releasing him so you can sign him again. Because, you know, his cap number for 2025 could be almost $20 million. So...
He can still play. He doesn't play at the same level all the time anymore. But by gosh, when they need him, he's there.
I'm just reading. SI had a story on him too. They said one of the reasons why, the first reason was because of the cap, and I already brought that up. He said the second reason is that despite his playoff performances, Kelce has been a fading force this season. His yards per reception had been 12. For nine straight years entering 2023. Last year, that dropped to a 10.6, and in 2024, it fell to an 8.5. Any chance he's getting covered more? That's what I thought first and foremost. And the other one is, are they not throwing him the ball? This is an SI story, but that quote was from Bren Rolfe of Pro Football Network.
I do think it's interesting that they have replenished their wide receiver room now with guys who are certainly on the back half of their career, like DeAndre Hopkins isn't the receiver that he used to be. But you don't think he could make a big play in the Super Bowl to help the Chiefs win the game?
It's all it takes.
Juju Smith-Schuster, same thing. He's not been the same guy since he left Pittsburgh. You don't think he could make a play or two to really help them? And he did the other day. And then you have Hollywood Brown. I mean, they keep throwing. And, you know, doesn't have to be absolute upper echelon wide receivers here. They're not all Jamar Chase, but it's guys who can help that offense work. You know, you brought in Kareem Hunt when nobody wanted to bring in Kareem Hunt. You brought in pieces that can help you. And that It's really well done.
Going
by
back,
Kansas City.
Going back to that piece, they were just saying if, you know, you talk about the diminishing skills, I guess is probably the best way to put it here in Northeast Ohio. If that's what you think Kelce has, he's just saying that Kelce's salary is crazy for a role player, and any cut for Kelce would be procedural, where he is nominally cut and then re-signed at a more cap-friendly deal. So I brought that up. Equally, they could just throw four and they could put some void years at the end, the way the Browns have been doing that too, and move upward of $12.5 million into the future as a veteran and as a thank you.
You couldn't just renegotiate the contract? There would be more cap implications with that than if you cut him?
Well, no, what they're saying is any cut for Kelce, this is exactly what it says, any cut for Kelce would be procedural, where he is nominally cut and then re-signed in a more cap-friendly deal. I just can't see them cutting him. I can't see him playing anywhere else, can you? I just can't do it.
No, I can't.
Greg Williams. Oh, lock it in. You just don't know what he's going to have to say, and I can't wait to hear what he says about Myles Garrett. That's coming up here in just a few moments. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.